Welcome to Red Eye. I'm Greg Gutfeld, in for Ken Pennington, who's busy recovering from Saturday's picnic. Sorry, Ken, my idea of a three-legged race is slightly different than yours. Let's go to TV's Andy Levy for the pregame report. Hey, Andy, what's coming up on this here show tonight?
Thanks, Greg. Coming up on the big show, why are welfare recipients making cash withdrawals at strip clubs and liquor stores? Probably for the same reasons Greg does.
Yeah.
Plus, why did a handcuffed and gagged pastor call 911? Probably for the same reason Greg does. And finally, why did a passenger on an Iceland Air flight have to be duct taped to his seat? Probably for the same reason Greg does. Greg?
I guess I should say thanks, Andy.
You disgust me.
Let's welcome our guests. Well, she's so sharp that balloons send her hate mail. I'm here tonight with Kennedy, special correspondent on Fox Business Network's Stossel, as well as Reason.com and Reason.tv contributor Stossel. And if life were a laugh track, he'd always get the clap. It's comedian Jason Kanner. And in Belgium, he's considered a parking cone. It's my repulsive sidekick, Bill Schultz. And if thoughtful commentary were a Japanese spa, I'd take my shoes off before entering him. Sitting right next to me, Reason Magazine's editor-in-chief, Matt Welch. And he's the big old liar you'd love to set on fire. It's our New York Times correspondent. Good to see you again, Pitcho.
So today, David Carr writes, quote, "For the time being, the sky over traditional media is blue and it's raining green. Have the clouds been full of anything for you lately, intern Porch?"
It went in, man. Hallelujah, it went amen. Hey.
You know, fun fact, Porch, that was written by one Paul Schaefer. Does make you wonder, doesn't it?
But I thought he was married.
So's Greg Gutfeld, Porch. So's Greg Gutfeld.
Good point.
This is a Fox News alert from America's newsroom. I'm Andy Levy. Shocking news out of Brazil, where a cat has been arrested after being caught attempting to smuggle contraband into a prison. The as-yet unidentified cat was caught while crossing through the main gate of the prison with a cell phone, earphones, drill bits, and a file taped to its body. A prison spokesperson says they have no leads at this time, as the cat so far has refused to talk. And although the cat is white, Brazilian authorities refuse to speculate about possible racial motives in the case. Authorities also were not pleased when this reporter asked if the prison was named Pawshank. This has been a Fox News alert. Now back to Red Eye, already in progress.
This is an amazing story, Kennedy. This is the first time I've seen a cat used as a mule.
Well, I've never seen someone try to keister a pussy. I was disgusted.
Yeah, that was disgusting. We'll see if that stays in edit.
Yeah.
Probably. It is a cat, right?
It is a pussy cat.
Yes, it is. It's an adorable cat. Any thoughts on this horrible crime, Jason?
Well, he had saws, drill bits, and a cell phone, but no drugs. So that, basically, to me, that sounds like someone forgot to check that cat's ass.
Yeah, that is true. Sad, tragic.
Just drill bits.
Yes.
Why drill bits?
Well, apparently, they were maybe the cat was helping them break out. They were getting every piece in order to break out.
All of Brazil's prisons are run seriously by private gangs that are patterned after the Batman Bane character. I mean, but it's a real thing. These gangs control, they're based in prisons, they control a lot of life outside of Brazil's slums. It's a horrifying place. Don't go to Brazil.
No, don't go. I thought Brazil was supposed to be a great place.
Bill can tell us.
Yeah, well, no, Bill goes there for surgery.
No, you're thinking of Bolivia.
Okay.
Bolivia is the place to go for families. That and nobody likes a snitch cat. Get your mouth shut.
There you go. All right, enough about that cat.
A-Block. The lead. That's the first story.
When it comes to weed, do we need a new creed? Well, former Congressman Patrick Kennedy, is there any other kind? Thinks so, and he's putting his unearned Kennedy family money where his mouth is. The recovering OxyContin addict, is there any other kind? Is forming a new group to fight the trend toward legalizing marijuana, and says that while the drug war has been a failure, we need a new approach. Project SAM, or Smart Approaches to Marijuana, that's clever, favors treating pot use as a public health issue, keeping users out of jail by using drug courts and treatment facilities. Kennedy tells Reuters, whoever that is, some German dude, he's afraid his 8-year-old son might end up an addict and that he wants to reduce the environmental factors that pull that trigger, such as marijuana use being commonly accepted. Anyway, you know who doesn't need to get high? These musicians. We'll be right back. love Coldplay. Matt, I go to you first. David Frum is involved in this project, so it must be a horrible idea.
Yeah, David Frum, who spent the last 10 years trying to convince us that anyone who's against the Iraq war is unpatriotic and un-American, and who did the no labels thing, do we remember that?
Right, yeah.
Great centrist third way party thing. No, it's actually useful to have all of these guys, the Kennedys, the Frums, all together, coalesced in a cause that I desperately don't believe in.
Yeah.
Because if enough bad people support something, then maybe something good will happen. This thing is so terrible. I mean, Kennedy, Patrick Kennedy, serial car crashing OxyContin addict, said that what we really need to do now is to let's see what the science tells us. Let's see what works.
Yeah.
And this is after 40 years of marijuana being scheduled a drug that is harder than heroin, right? And that the government doesn't allow us to do any kind of research on it. So I think they're basically sniffing the wind on legalization in Colorado and Washington and trying to stay relevant as conservatives, and it's gross.
Kennedy, as a Kennedy, what do you make of Kennedy's plan?
I think that Patrick Kennedy is a mutant, and just because he has damaged DNA, it doesn't mean that everyone else should pay with their own freedom. Mm. I mean, this is ridiculous, and I think states like Washington and Colorado are at the forefront of this issue, and he's so far behind the times, and thank goodness he's a former congressman.
Yeah.
You know, because his dad was an addict, and now he's a pill pop and dry drunk, I shouldn't be able to smoke the reefer if I've got some chemo issues.
There you go.
Or it's a Saturday.
Yes, it's a Saturday. That is, I think that is covered under medical marijuana. Yeah. It's a Saturday.
Yeah.
Yes, I suffer from that once a week. At least once a week I get it's a Saturday. Jason, what do you make of this?
Well, one of the things he said it was a knee-jerk reaction, which the funny thing is that marijuana actually cures knee-jerk.
That's true.
The Kennedys, they're a family that's known, they're known to be bootleggers. So basically, doesn't that prove that they're still into bootlegging? He wants to keep pot illegal.
That is a good point. Perhaps he's running a side business.
He's running a Mexican cartel is what he's doing.
Interesting. Bill, you spend all your money on booze and coke, so you probably couldn't care less about all this talk about pot.
Cola. Coca-Cola. We'll fix that. Kennedy's absolutely right about her horrible family. Just because they can't handle their high, we all have to suffer. And second of all, he actually said this. He said, well, we've already spent $25 billion a year on the drug war, so why throw the baby out with the bathwater?
Yeah.
Talk about a banned phrase, by the way.
Yes.
And secondly, I throw babies out with my bathwater all the time. They're always fine.
Kennedy should not be using water as a metaphor.
Yeah.
And
oh.
By the way, he's misusing it. It's throw the baby out with the bong water, Patrick.
There you go. All right,
that happens.
Can I make the point that stood out for me? Even if you don't put, okay, his whole idea is do not put pot users in jail, but by still not legalizing it, you're actually keeping the drug war going while then creating another government entity to take care of the rehab.
Absolutely. And these rehab things work in such a way that if you don't show up for your drug test or if you fail your drug test, you go to jail. So it's not like some special you never go to jail car.
Yeah. This is nuts. And by the way, he was addicted to legal drugs.
Well, and
wasn't he?
Yes, he was addicted to drugs that were medically prescribed.
Yes.
And in Washington and Colorado both, they have stopgap measures in the new revenue generators that allow for money to go to public funds for addiction.
Yeah.
So, and that's a problem here. It's not marijuana, it's addiction. Addiction is the public health problem.
Yes.
It's not pot.
And addiction, by the way, to public health programs, because we're going to pay for this. We will. And can't you get addiction? Don't you get the program free if you're busted for pot? So let's say I can't afford rehab. If I walk out, smoke a joint, I get rehab. Right? I don't have to pay for it.
We pay for jail, too.
I guess.
Yeah, we do pay for jail. That is true.
I don't have as much experience as other people think. Right?
And the key words here are revenue generators. If you don't legalize it, you can't make money off it. And unlike you, Mr. Kennedy, we all weren't born being automatic revenue generators. Thanks to mommy and daddy, go down the family tree. Just because your family's got a predilection for addiction, all right, one out of two, doesn't mean you got to put it on the rest of us.
Well, they want to spend $44 million to set up this hotline in Washington for marijuana users, addicts, so-called, to call, which basically every drug dealer, I think, in the state of Washington is going to be fighting to get, like, a number that's one digit different. Like, this is the pot addiction line. We're going to send a guy right over. You got $50 on you?
That's a great idea. Yeah. That is a great idea. Fantastic.
And who cares? You know what? If pot makes people feel better when they're going through chemo. If chemo got people high, that should be legal. I wouldn't care either way.
Yeah, good point. All right, we got to move on. From weed to welfare, is government largesse, or is it largesse?
Don't know.
I don't know, largesse, being used to watch breasts. Well, the New York Post, paper, I believe, reports that welfare recipients are using electronic benefit cards to withdraw cash at ATMs inside strip clubs, porn shops, bars, and liquor stores. And according to the Post, legislative efforts to end such sinful spending have been blocked by evil. Did I say evil? Democrats. One lefty lawmaker who opposes reform compared folks on assistance with municipal employees like firefighters and said the government should not dictate how their taxpayer-funded checks are spent. While a Republican lawmaker notes, if you're using a debit card at a casino or strip club, chances are you're not buying something that is beneficial to your family. What if it's a Manson family? Anyway, instead, that money should be spent on essential items like puppy centerpieces.
Dudley, my acrobatic puppy.
Hi, Nona. He's a good standing.
Our new centerpiece.
See, I don't, there's something wrong there. How long did it take him to get the dog to do that? And what horrifying things did they force the dog to do to get him to stand like that?
What horrifying thing is holding the dog in place?
Yeah, that is so
like a giant floral sign.
I want to know that he is being held up not by something.
Well, he doesn't seem to hate it.
Well,
it's because he's got into Patrick Kennedy's OxyContin.
From personal experience, it's not that bad when you're being held up that way. But what am I talking about? Matt, should the government tell people how to spend money, even if it's taxpayer-funded money?
I don't think so. I mean, unless it's taxpayer-funded money to tell you to do something specific, right? So yeah. if I give you money to carry out a contract, you should do your contract, blah, blah,
right,
blah,
right.
blah, blah. But people are always trying to drug test welfare recipients to do put different conditions on things. Look, if you're gonna give people money, they're gonna spend it, and poor people are gonna spend it probably a little bit worse than mm-hmm. rich people are, depending, it depends if it's Patrick Kennedy or not.
Yeah.
And when you're poor, you're gonna spend it on booze and cigarettes first because you kind of got to get through the day. So
what's my excuse?
That's a good point. But so no, if you don't like the way poor people spend money, don't give them money.
Right. All right, Jason, what do you make of the payouts, especially at strip clubs? This must offend you as somebody who spends most of his money, your own money, at strip clubs.
Well, the woman said that whatever is going on at the strip club is not going to benefit a family. But I think that you're possibly, you know, jumping to conclusions there. Like, what happens if your daughter's the one on the main stage at that point?
That is a good point.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, it could be your mother. What if your mother? It is. I like every stripper comes from a family.
What if it's your mother and your daughter?
Oh, my God.
That's so Motley Crue hot.
I was involved in one of those years ago.
Okay, Vince Neil.
Oh, it was fantastic. Hey, Kennedy, since you're already talking.
Sure.
How would you suggest we reform welfare? Should we, like, everybody says, oh, this is a small percentage of people that are actually doing this, but it's still our money, right? Or is it not our money?
Well, it's not. It is our money, and we're giving it to them. So, I mean, I guess I feel about welfare the same way I feel about health care.
Right.
If the government's giving it to you, they're going to tell you how to spend it. They're going to tell you what to put in your body. Either way, that's why nationalized health care is so dangerous.
Yes.
So maybe stop giving people money in the form of debit cards they can use at ATMs.
Right.
But, by the way, Heritage Foundation said that $2 billion in Sandy relief money so far has been spent on NFL tickets, Girls Gone Wild videos, and even a sex change operation. So these people know how to party. I don't have a problem with them at all.
How did they do that? I missed that story.
Yeah, debit cards.
Really? Fantastic. Bill, you actually give lap dances at Club Heat, the Bronx strip club where a lot of this happens. So you must be for this.
Club Heat's just the name of my apartment, Greg. But the lap dance still holds if you want to visit me after the show. The problem with this legislation is these guys, nothing stops them from going across the street and getting the money out at that ATM. So it's not going to do anything. Like, basically you're just making them walk an extra block, so maybe that'll help their obesity. And second of all, never discount the creativity of a strip club owner with a GED. All you're gonna do is see a bunch of guys changing their strip club name to something like Bob's Deli, and so that's the way it comes through on their ATM, and no one's
the richer. We'll handle your hoagie.
Yes, thank you.
Is it possible to get bipartisan support? Like, if we keep it the way it is, they can spend the money at strip clubs, Democrats like that, and then for the Republicans, we'll just give EBT cardholders like a 10% discount at, gun shows?
Yeah, that would be perfect. Excellent, excellent point. But, you know, here's the thing. Okay, here's my problem. They compared it to firefighters. That's kind of weird. Didn't they say it's like municipal?
Yeah.
Why is there any logic to that?
No, there's no logic at all. And actually, if you think about what's driving us bankrupt, it's pension plans or defined benefit pension plans to firefighters and all kinds of public employees all over the place, much more than it is our welfare payouts to people who are poor. So it's if there's any weird thing about that comparison besides the fact that they don't have anything in common as far as we can tell.
Yes.
The public policy problem is actually worse than firefighters.
I think what they meant by that is on their downtime, firefighters will often sit shirtless on a chair while another guy sprays a hose on them. So in that sense, they're a lot alike.
Okay, yeah.
The pole, exactly.
It's the pole.
Yes.
There is something morally unsavory about the comparison. It's like saying that doctors and morbidly obese people are part of the public health crisis because doctors treat the morbidly obese.
Yeah. It's that old, William F. Buckley line. It's like a guy who pushes a woman in front of a bus and a guy who pushes a woman out of the way of the bus. Those are men who push women around.
It's no more like that
you
line.
You can teach a man to fish, or you can buy him fish at a strip club with your ATM money.
There you go.
Morning, ladies.
I think we're throwing the stripper baby out with the bathwater here.
Excellent. All right. Coming up, rabies shots for Bill. I told him not to marry that raccoon. All right, but first, what's the latest on Justin Bieber? I don't know. I'll ask him when I get home. He better make me stew. Should a 911 call be heard by all? Well, from the files of Ben There, handcuff that. A Springfield, Illinois pastor, is there any other kind, recently rang the local police after engaging in what could be described as not church business. The conversation was released somehow, and his private pickle became very public. Let's listen, fans of listening.
911.
Hi there. I'm stuck in a pair of handcuffs. I'm going to need help getting out before this becomes a medical emergency.
What's the problem?
I am stuck in a pair of handcuffs.
You're stuck in a pair of handcuffs?
Yes, playing with them. So I need some help getting out.
Oh, you got to feel for him. The call continues.
Is this a business you're at?
It is actually, yes.
Okay, what's the business?
St. Aloysius.
Okay. Where at in the building are you?
I'm in the front room. Come to the front door.
Hold on 1 second.
Yes, sir.
Okay, we're going to get help over there for you, okay?
Okay, I'll be here.
Are you an employee there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, are you the only one there?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I'll be here.
All right. We'll get somebody over there, okay?
Thank you, sir.
The Illinois Times reports that the priest has been granted a leave of absence. And, of course, I've offered my apartment. Well, half of my apartment, the bottom half. Anyway, I love this guy, Kennedy, because I think it takes a lot of bravery for somebody who clearly has something stuck in his mouth and is handcuffed to call 911 when he knows that it's going to be publicized. And this is the thing that drives me crazy.
You hope it's not because he's in Springfield. But then there's always the interweb, isn't there?
Yes. Isn't it kind of wrong that these calls are released, except that we enjoy it so much? Yeah.
Okay.
But I salute him his bravery for calling
this
anyway.
This is when you need a relative who's a cop.
Yeah.
This is when you need someone who's got the handcuff key already, who can come over real hush-hush, maybe you give them a $50 gift card to Starbucks as a thank you. But no, it is a matter of public record. And by the way, St. Aloysius is the patron saint of young students.
Oh, excellent. Yeah.
So maybe he was helping the young people. And by the way, it's called self-flagellation. This is a religious exercise.
Oh, that could be right.
Exactly what I would say.
All right, Matt. Matt, doesn't this, though, somehow, okay, you're a libertarian, everything should be out there.
Sure.
But doesn't this discourage people from using 911? Like, okay, let's say me and Bill are out, Bill starts choking on his vomit, happens like 4 times a month, and I'm like standing there and I go, oh, jeez, I better call 911 and get a paramedic, but I'm going like, actually, I'm on this pretty big show called The Five now.
And Bill's choking on my vomit.
He is choking on. I really don't want my name out there.
You know, I think you're actually onto something. And there's some court cases that having to do with mugshots, right? Because you get hauled in and arrested, even if you are not actually charged. Ultimately, they do take your picture sometimes. And there's all these mugshot publications that are making a lot of money. And then there's towns like Stockton, California, that will put up your mugshot on a billboard if you were soliciting a prostitute to try to shame you, even if you're never charged with it, right?
Right.
So it does kind of, it's a tool of law enforcement even without going through the whole process, and there is something creepy about it.
Yeah, and also, you're calling 911 because it's the right thing to do.
Right.
Like, you're trying to save somebody's life or maybe your own life. The mugshot is like, if you're propositioning a prostitute or whatever, and it turns out you're innocent, maybe it's a tool to keep people from going to a prostitute. In this case, this is keeping people from doing something helpful. Matt, what should we put a ball gag on 911 calls?
Your name is
Jason.
Matt, oh, sorry, Jason. I looked down and I gave you the wrong question. I blame the flu, by the way.
Well, I'm going to give you the wrong answer. How's that?
Yeah.
Go fight an Irish. I think too much comedy comes out of stuff. I want the calls to keep rolling in, and I thought they would at least like beep out the name of the church or the address.
Yes.
I was really surprised that they
didn't. And by the way, didn't it sound like Stephen Hawking's computer at one point?
He was so polite.
I'm in handcuffs.
Yeah.
Please can't save me.
But how does he pronounce the S? He keeps saying, yes,
yeah.
I'm in handcuffs.
Because the tongue goes behind the ball gag, and then when it touches the roof of the mouth. It's a known thing.
Kennedy? Is it really Kennedy?
Well,
you know, those years at MTV, they were not kind to you, were they?
They were so kind to me. A little too kind.
Bill,
your
life is one humiliation after another. So basically, you would have a lot of advice for this pastor. I want this pastor to bounce back.
Yes, but I don't work in a place where I claim to not be doing humiliating things. It's all out there. Every show for me is a 9/11 call. This guy, my big question is how he was alone. I mean, he was in a pretty compromising position to do all that himself.
I don't think he was.
You're saying the GIMP got scared and jumped out the window? I can see it. Not a good place for
the GIMP or the pimp. It's like, all right, pay up, Padre. It's like, cash?
Maybe he was just fooling around. Maybe it was a Halloween costume that he found, and that he was just, hey, you know, I wonder if these things, whoops. Who hasn't had that mistake with the handcuffs?
Well, isn't it nice to finally hear a sex story, though, where the pastor is in the uncompromising position, though,
yeah,
for the first time?
That is true. I feel bad for him. All right, we got to take a break. Hang in there, pastor, and I mean that in a way that's not perverse, because that is dangerous as well. We know that when people do that, things happen.
Get a spotter.
All right, yeah. Get a spotter. We're talking about gym work, people. Working out. Working out's fun when you're doing it with me. All right, comment, show, email us, redeye@foxnews.com. Do you have a video also of your animal doing something? foxnews.com/redeye. Click on submit a video. We might use it. Still to come. Halftime Report from TV's Andy Levy. He's our pastor.
Tonight's Halftime Report is sponsored by sledding, the process of using land vehicles with smooth undersides to coast over snow or ice. Thanks, sledding.
Back. Let's find out if we got anything wrong so far. For that, we go to TV's Andy Levy. Andy, how are you holding up?
I'm holding up all right, Greg.
Any update on the cat story?
Quick update, actually. The cat has now been charged.
Really?
Feline aiding and abetting.
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
I thought you were going to say a joke like it's a feline-y. Feline-y.
I don't get that.
Felony, but I couldn't quite spit it out.
No. Kind of glad I didn't say that.
Yeah.
Actually. Yeah.
Or maybe it's a perfect crime. They certainly whiskered him off to jail.
Yeah.
Will he be incarcerated?
It's hard to believe this is around the time we start losing viewers.
Oh, blame us.
Yeah, it's clearly your fault. Also, before we get started, I gotta wish a happy birthday to Joey Campbell.
Thank God you got that out of the way.
I had to get that out there. This guy is so conservative, he makes Pat Buchanan look like Noam Chomsky.
Mm.
Check out his stuff. Patrick Kennedy's anti-marijuana project. Matt, you pointed out that David Frum, who's in bed with Patrick Kennedy on this, spent years saying that anyone who was against the Iraq war was unpatriotic and un-American. Here's what gets me. The fact that he's referred to as a conservative.
Yeah, I think that's happening less and less. He's usually referred to as conservative these days when the New Yorker is trying to write about libertarians or something like that. It's mostly a level of confusion. He's floating in some special new place, transitioning from one zone to another.
I don't think he should be called a statist.
Well, you and me both, brother, but this until we change everyone's vocabulary.
Yeah. But I mean, he always thinks, like Bloomberg, he always thinks the government should you know, take responsibility and run people's lives.
He's he had a quote today about this project saying, basically, if you do it and smoke pot and you have no bad side effects, maybe it's still working worse on you than you thought,
yeah.
And that maybe, you know, you've already gotten so much from this world, you might as well sacrifice something.
Right. Well, again, I want to get to that. Kennedy, you said that just because Patrick Kennedy has damaged DNA doesn't mean you shouldn't be able to smoke the weed.
That's right.
But David Frum, this is, I think, what Matt was alluding to, he says, quote, there's a trade-off, and it takes the form of denying less vulnerable people easy access to a pleasure that they believe they can safely use.
Way too many big words, Andy.
I know. Basically, what he's saying is, who are you to value your freedom?
A free person. An American.
Yeah.
An American woman with glasses.
Not in David Frum's America, man.
Well, he can suck it.
I don't disagree.
Okay.
Jason, you said the Kennedys were known bootleggers of alcohol. And indeed, mobsters like Meyer Lansky and Frank Costello said that they and Joseph Kennedy were partners in ventures like that. But Daniel Okrent, in his book about prohibition, says there's absolutely no evidence of Joseph Kennedy bootlegging. He writes, quote, all we know for certain is that Joe Kennedy brought liquor into the country legally before the end of prohibition and sold a great deal of it after.
Hmm.
I hope you learned something.
You busted me on this one.
I hope you learned something.
Wait, but who are we to trust? A known gangster like Meyer Lansky,
right,
or Dan Okrent?
Dan Okrent is, I believe, the former ombudsman of the New York Times. So
I'm with the gangster.
I'm going to stick with him.
Nope, gangster.
He also created
a gangster's a real thing. An ombudsman isn't.
He also created, what was that, Matt?
He created rotisserie baseball, Dan Okrent.
Little
known fact.
Was that Daniel Okrent?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good.
What
good,
the heck is rotisserie
good
baseball?
For him.
They turn it over until it's extra delicious.
That's what I thought. Is it baseball in a 7-Eleven that smells?
It's what these days would be called fantasy baseball. Welfare debit cards being used at strip clubs. Matt, you said the government shouldn't tell people how to spend their money, even if it's taxpayers' money, that if you don't like the way poor people spend money, don't give them money. But doesn't this get to the point that this all started when we stopped giving people food stamps and started giving them these electronic debit cards?
Well, don't we give them both, basically? I mean, the people who get these things get food stamps as well. And food stamps are proscribed, too, both in terms of preferably having something to do with a good diet, but actually just going towards farm producers that the government
yeah.
likes.
Yeah. Well, I thought we stopped giving food stamps because it was sort of, it made people feel bad when they had to pay with food stamps, whereas if they just pay with a debit card, like at a supermarket, they feel better.
That sounds right, actually. That sounds
yeah.
right.
They still pull them aside, and you know who they are, so it's a...
right.
Oh, they still make you feel pretty crappy.
Got my eyes on them.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Haven't you accidentally pressed the EBT button at Ralph's before? I've done that.
What's a Ralph's?
Come on.
You know what a Ralph's is.
I know what a Ralph's is.
Ralph's is West Coast.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is, my friend.
They didn't catch that.
Oh, well.
Jason, you said spending money at a strip club could be beneficial to your family, for instance, if your daughter's the one on the main stage. A great point. Also important to point out, there's no actual evidence the money was used in the strip clubs or the liquor stores, et cetera, only that it was taken out of ATMs in those places.
Yeah, I mean, you, like, personally, Andy, you've never taken money out of a strip club and then gone next door to Whole Foods to get a healthy salad? Or
almost every Thursday.
It's true.
No,
it's just Thursday.
Yeah, it just so happens the ATM, yeah. ATM is in the strip club nearby.
You know what? It charges a dollar less than the Ralph's does. also,
but you have to pay the $20 cover to use it.
Yeah, but you don't think about that when you're at the machine.
Yes.
Also, as I pointed out before we've done this story, it's entirely possible that the Gentlemen's Club withdrawals were used to pay for the delightful buffets I'm told those establishments have.
Mm. And booze, because you can't buy booze directly with the EBT cards.
Mm.
But you can buy booze with cash.
That is true.
Yeah.
It's a way better plan.
Yeah, it is. Smart. And the booze is really inexpensive at strip clubs, I hear.
Yes.
And not at all watered down, which is cool.
No, that's great. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
No hepatitis in that free buffet either.
No.
again, not on Thursdays.
No.
It's E. coli then.
Greg, the comparison to the firefighters was that they also get taxpayer money. It's a stupid comparison.
It is.
Yeah. Also,
what about strippers dressed like firefighters?
Well, they have the poll.
Yes.
Yeah. Speaking of which, can we talk about, no one talked about the New York Post's lead for this story? They're on the dole and watching the poll?
Yeah.
Can
and
we,
the
can
jiggling
we,
gin joints.
No, but I'm fairly certain we can sue them.
Why?
For that lead.
I think we've used, we might have used that.
They're biting our style, if nothing else.
Yes.
Pastor's 911 call. Greg, you asked if making 911 calls public discourages people from calling 911. Probably, especially when shows like ours air.
But you know what I'm doing. I looked at the greater good. Mm-hmm. Using this was in a way to help people like the pastor.
All right.
I would just burn down the Reichstag.
Greg, can you maybe make a comparison between this and making gun permit lists public?
No, you can't.
Why not?
Oh, what I did?
Well, I'm just saying they're both public.
Yes,
they're both public documents. They're both, but should they be?
Well, I don't know. Okay. I like the fact that they made it public because it makes people who don't have guns worried.
Yeah.
But then, no, that's not a good thing. No. Because then there are people that had guns for reasons for protection. They don't want people to know where they live. So I'm not for that.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Who's breaking into a house with known guns, though? You got this guy's got a machine gun. You're going to break into his house?
What do you mean? Like, well, no, but that was the. No, I'm saying if they have the. What are we talking about?
I don't know. I was simply asking if you could make that comparison, maybe.
The comparison that a 911.
That both of them are technically public information.
Yes.
But maybe they shouldn't be made public.
Yes.
Okay.
Wait, are we still talking about the cat mule?
I have no idea. I'm really sorry I brought that up.
No, because I thought you were going for a larger point.
No.
That would somehow end up protecting or harming somebody. I don't know.
No, not at all.
Lost me.
All right. Kennedy, you said the pastor's voice sounded like Stephen Hawking's computer.
Yes.
I thought he sounded like, remember Chandler on Friends when he was trapped in the ATM vestibule with Jill Goodacre?
I've never seen Friends.
Are you kidding me?
No.
All right.
But you know who does the best Stephen Hawking's computer impression?
I don't know.
David Cross, the comic.
Oh, yeah.
He says horrible things going, well,
I guess. Yeah, just stop. Yeah. Just stop. We're going to take it out.
Probably
not. Just lastly, Greg, I find it very curious. You seem very invested in giving possible excuses for the pastor being gagged and in handcuffs.
Yes. I am. Because I'm a good person.
Is that why?
Yes. No, I'm just, think about this. We're all at one point in our lives going to be in a very embarrassing situation. We know that we're on this planet between like 70 and 85 years. There's going to be one time when you are so embarrassed. Look at Al Roker. Last night, what did Al Roker say? He pooped in his pants in the White House.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing.
Is it?
Al Roker sharted in the White House?
He sharted in the White House. And what would happen if you, let's say, there was nobody around to help you. There were no bathrooms, and you had to call 911. Mm. Is Al Roker going to call 911 knowing he's going to be on there going like, holy crap, I crapped? No.
That'd be kind of an abuse of the 911 system.
It would. What's he going to call, 311?
I don't know. 411?
What about 411? In Marietta, California, where they charge you $350 for an ambulance or for paramedics?
Yeah.
Through the fire department. I mean, they're now charging. They're literally charging people money.
They have to, because they're going bankrupt.
Because they give away so much money and they fund pensions for life. So now, people aren't going to call 911 if they feel they're going to be charged $350 every time they make a line. You know what? We'll do it for a 6-year-old choking on half a hot dog, but for grandma who's 96, it's been a wonderful life. But we're going to save the $350.
It is like a death panel at home.
Yeah.
Although for someone in Roker's situation, they should have a number like that. Just number two. Just like, wait. And they give you advice. All right, you're in the bathroom, right? Take your shorts, throw them in the trash, act like nothing happened.
By the way,
Al Roker would have been fine.
Clearly, he's not all that embarrassed by this. He's the one that told everyone.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, and he also had the stomach surgery, so.
Well, yeah, but you know what this is? It's what you call a humble brag. We all know what a humble brag is. This wasn't about him sharting. It was about him sharting in
the White House.
Which now became the not-so-White House when he took a poop in the White House.
Go away.
You go away first. See? He chickened out. So what's it like to manage a chart-topping boy band? Matt Welch on discovering late 90s pop group Dream Street and their ensuing suicides. But first, why was this airline passenger taped to his seat? John Gibson gives his side of the story.
Yes.
Yeah, he went a little crazy midair, so they taped him to a chair. Yep, last week a passenger on Iceland Air flight, on a flight bound, I guess, for New York from Iceland. Not sure where that is. For New York, this guy got so epically hammered He had to be duct taped to his seat. That's in there, apparently. According to a witness, the man drank a full bottle of booze, then started grabbing women, choked other passengers, screamed that the plane was going to crash, and also spat on people, past tense of spit. His behavior prompted passengers and crew, a.k.a. the fun police, to bound and gag him. I guess I don't understand your zest for life, but I do, sir. So let's discuss this, shall we, in the
lightning round. Lightning round.
Kennedy, was this the right way to deal with this man? Clearly, he was having issues.
Well, I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often, because it's really easy, I've heard, to get cut off in an airport bar, let alone on a plane. Because, yeah. I mean, after a couple beers, they really can cut you off. And then that's when people get really angry, yeah. when they're half drunk, because yeah. they want to get all the way drunk.
Yes.
But you can go to duty free and grab a bottle of Courvoisier and have your way with it, either in the terminal or on the plane. No one's going to be the wiser until you're choking the woman next to you.
Yeah. Do you know who else is duty free?
Al Roker.
Thank yeah, you like, very much.
I was on the spot and I failed.
Duty free. Why do I even talk?
He was duty rich.
He was duty yeah. rich. Jason, should anyone who acts slightly out of hand get taped up? Or is it out of their control?
One of my all-time fantasies, sometimes it's the only thing that gets me through a flight to Tennessee, is just the fantasy that the flight attendant goes, we need you to beat this passenger into submission. Because yeah. I hated him from the beginning, most likely.
And yeah.
yeah. Just be given permission to jump on him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not make a contest out of it, right? You know on every single flight there's going to be one passenger that you can choose to duct tape to his seat because he's such a jackass, right? I'd pay maybe some extra for it. Puts everyone
that would be
edge.
The guy who was singing Phantom of the Opera in the terminal the other day as I was getting ready to board a flight. It was completely silent.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
perhaps it might have been the Phantom of the Opera.
It might have been Robert Guillaume.
It could have. Oh, that would be fantastic. Is he still alive?
I hope so. I really hope so for the sake of that reference. And I don't know.
There's something bothering you.
No, it looked like Milton from Office Space.
Oh, okay.
That guy,
in the picture.
Yes, in the
I
picture.
Thought that too. I
it
thought
looks
it was
like Milton.
I thought it was Milton.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was going like. Who
the word took my stapler.
Who's the actor? Root?
Sure.
I don't know, Alan Root?
But he was
Stephen
also,
Root.
Yeah, he was also on True Blood. But I have wanted to take part in a duct taping for as long as I've been flying, especially since 9/11.
Yeah.
No one's going to stand for malarkey anymore.
No.
And literally everyone has been waiting for their heroic moment. Mm. And so maybe it's not a terrorist. Maybe it's the drunken Icelander. Same,
yeah.
same. But how? I didn't know they had duct tape on planes. This literally yeah. opens up avenues for
And
me.
Bill, it must scare the hell out of you.
No, I've never been on a plane. But if they duct tape people who just people watch at a terminal, I'm in trouble. Mm. They should honestly tell people that don't seem to be aware, and that guy didn't seem to be aware of a lot, that the altitude and booze do not mix. Mm. Like, whatever bottle he had, that's the equivalent of 3 or 4 once you're up to, how far are they flying? 300 feet?
300 feet, yeah.
20? About halfway the size of, about up here.
Yeah.
And you're up here, you're gonna get a little loaded, my friend.
That's true. Oh, yeah, they fly very low, Bill.
Yes.
No, you know, I remember, but I took, this is why I stopped taking Ambien. When I used to take Ambien on a flight.
Okay, Patrick
and
Kennedy.
Because I had fear of flying and that makes you sleep. But I was flying from London to America, I think for my interview for Red Eye, and I took Ambien, and there was a whole group of, there was family there, and then I woke up and everybody was gone. Everybody, like, there was people here, people there, and they had all moved. And all on the floor were torn pages from a magazine. To this day, I don't know what I did.
I got to try Ambien.
Yeah. No, you know what it is, though? What Ambien does is it puts you to sleep, but you still hear, it somehow links you to what's going on. So if you have a fear of flying, you will dream that the plane's crashing. So you end up doing stuff like this.
Ambien makes you swear?
Yes, it does. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about something. TMZ has obtained photos of Justin Bieber smoking pot, i.e. Mary Jane marijuana, at a recent party at a California hotel. Several pictures show him clutching a blunt, and he wasn't just holding it for someone, as I first suspected. No, Bieber addressed the candid shots via Twitter, writing, "Every day, growing and learning, trying to be better, you get knocked up." You get knocked down. That too. You get up. Well, someone's been listening to Chumbawamba. Destroyed that joke. Jason, has this crushed your worldview of Bieber?
The picture didn't even surprise me. I just read the news story, and they said, you know, he's in a hotel room with a rapper. I didn't even need to see a picture. I'm like, oh, he's smoking a blunt. That's what's going on in there.
Yeah. But then, you know, they're saying it's a bad influence. It's a bad influence. I'm getting him away from the rapper, Kennedy. But he's not going to make him want to be with rappers.
What's his name? Little Twizzler?
Yeah, Little Twizzler.
Yeah, just cute as a button, that one.
Yes, mm-hmm.
No, and the only thing for Bieber to do now to rehabilitate his image, he has to team up with Patrick Kennedy in Project I Am Sam.
No, that is good. Yeah. I don't think it's called I Am
not?
Sam. No.
Well, because it's an intellectually disabled idea, so I assumed it was.
Yes, I Am Sam. Terrible. Matt, is he helping or hurting the legalization movement? And he's going to lose his fan base.
This whole thing was planted. He's trying to go beyond the tween demographic and maybe get a 16-year-old.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, he's moving up.
He's got to get rid of that boy band image eventually. You know, it's either you're hitting blunts or you're hitting Rihanna. You got to pick one or the other.
Oh, nice. Ooh. He will probably end up becoming like Leif Garrett and wearing a bandana and doing rehab. Bill, you're a diehard Bieber fan. How will this affect his sales?
It's not going to affect his sales. And if he's really going to try to present himself as being hard, is marijuana even the way to go anymore? I mean, does anyone look at that and be like, ooh, I'm going to stay clear of Bieber now? And also, the worst part is, if he's going to issue out an apology on Twitter, wait until it wears off. That whole thing was written like someone that was still very stoned. Every day growing and learning, man. Trying to be better. You get knocked down, you go up.
You totally should
wait,
not
Bieber.
Tweet when you're high.
Yes, absolutely. Give it at least 6 hours.
Yes.
Well, yeah, not just a
it's
Bieber.
The only time I tweet.
Yes. All right, we're going to close things out with a post-game wrap-up from TV's Andy Levy, and to see clips of recent shows, foxnews.com/redeye. See you back here at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for The 5. Coming up tomorrow, we've got John Gibson, Diane Macedo, and Anthony Acuña. Back to TV's Andy Levy, post-game wrap-up.
Thanks, Greg. Hey, Kennedy, when are you going to be back with the adorable John Stossel?
Oh, I'm going to be on this week talking about the business of bad news. That's going to be on Fox Business Network Thursday night.
Is that business good?
That business is so good. Business is his business, and business is fantastic. Just ask the Stash. I love you, John. I do.
Wow. The Stash.
Yeah. Yeah. Matt, why are you shedding a golden tear tonight?
Huell Howser, California giant of television, died today at age 67. He's a tall guy at a microphone the size of Texas, and he'd walk around and do interviews with people who own talking wagons and weird crap like that.
Yeah.
Great guy, and he's dead. I'm sad.
Yeah, he was great.